I realize I only have 10 minutes, but I always like to start, if I can, especially in these kind of forums, with a description of what is a national laboratory. Not everybody is all that familiar with national labs, but as you can see from the map, there's a handful of us out there. And what we are is federally funded research and development centers that operate, do research and development, really for the U.S. federal government, Department of Energy in particular, but we also support the other agencies as well. And there we are at Oak Ridge. We're there in Tennessee. Sort of has a history that began with the Manhattan Project called the Secret City back in the day. I've heard there's a Netflix show called Stranger Things or something. Does anybody know this? I haven't seen it, but I've heard that it was based on Oak Ridge. So there's a... I should probably look at it before I mention it in public. But the truth is that while we are behind gates, that we do a great deal of open research and development. We have great collaborations with universities, with industry. We publish. We work with students. We have students come visit us and do internships, and so on and so forth. And this graph here kind of shows where the national labs sit. Between universities and industry, sort of focus on these big challenge, long horizon type problems that kind of sit between university and industry. So within Oak Ridge, we'll draw down quickly to the group, the Geographic Information Science and Technology Group, which is where I sit. The group itself has about 130 or so researchers, and we have a pretty diverse group. So it's not just eggheads. We have folks with domain expertise that can guide and shape the kind of research and development that we do on our large and small computers. So I think I've rewritten this presentation three times since I got here yesterday. I keep changing what I want to say. Based upon, that's the advantage, by the way, of going later on, is you can try to fine-tune it. I thought I would just give a quick overview of some of the things we do and then kind of focus the talk a little more. So we're doing, we engage geographic data and the data sciences in a whole range of ways, from photogrammetry to sort of knowledge discovery using imagery. You know, we're trying to find buildings, we're using machine learning, artificial intelligence. So we've seen many examples of that. So sort of big data fusion type things that happen to sort of bring different data sets together and bind them in clever and interesting ways. Uncertainty quantification, a key part of that for us. It's not just the physical, but also the cultural. This is actually probably where a lot of our time is spent, figuring out where people are at during the day and night. Spins off a large number of great geographic data science type challenges and questions. Understanding the kind of people that might be there, sort of downscale and demography data, and so on and so forth. One of the key things, for example, is we also engage social media. We have a PlanetSense project that's mining, scraping the open source 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I think including imagery, it's around 2 gigabytes a second that it's pulling down that help us better understand human dynamics. Over here, you'll see these strange gray humps are an example of what you can do with that kind of data. Those are sort of when facilities, in this case in Spain, are opening and closing. Right, so if you look at all the facilities in Spain that reveal themselves in the open source, you can sort of get a sense for when they're open, when they're closed. Top is retail. By the way, the bottom, if you can't tell, it's days of the week. Retails, restaurant, and many other categories. And so we're able to get a sense of, by the way, when is day and when is night? It's actually a very troublesome question. When is day and when is night? You ask 10 people and you get 15 answers. Well, it's when the sun goes down. Well, that doesn't really necessarily change the economic activity and human dynamics just because the sun went down. So those are the kinds of things that we do that sort of speak towards spatiotemporal analytics. So I thought what I could do that would maybe a little different than all the other great talks we've seen so far is talk about a project that we're doing. There's dozens of things we're doing. This is one of them that we are doing to try to really bring together data sciences and the geographic sciences into a space-time information system for our customer. And so I thought I would go through, show you what we did briefly, and what we succeeded at and what we failed at, and let you know that you're able to see this yourself. So this is a freely available site. I think on the next one somewhere I have it. There it is. Actually, it's on the next slide. I'll show you the URL momentarily. Don't hold your breath. So what we do is the customer said there's a ton of open source data out there. It's been collected for years. Some of the sources are up here that you see. What can we really do with that data? What kind of interesting things can we, non-obvious things can we discover if we pull all that data together and put a tool in front of it that everyday people can use? That's quite a challenge, actually. And so I thought we'd start by just going through it quickly. Up there's the URL, wstamp.ornl.gov. You can get a free account and churn away to your heart's content. We put it out there for free because we like feedback. We're interested in making it better, and invite you into that process. So one of the things that happens when you are dealing with data over many, many years is that countries evolve and split up, merge, so on and so forth. So you have to be able to keep track of the entities that you're tracking. All right, what happens to them? How do they evolve? This is really an interesting part of the challenge, to sort of keep track of these kinds of things. So I'll be slowly constructing the interface here if you haven't guessed it already. The other thing is we have 18,000 or so attributes now in the database, space-time series, from all the sources that you saw, sort of harmonized and put together. So another issue is, no, I have three. how do you cross-reference and search this data? How do you discover the attributes that are of interest to you? That's actually probably the biggest challenge for us. And so we keep a time bar at the top that also gives you information. Analytics are available in the center. Some of the things that we do, we permit them to engage this and get some pretty standard stuff pretty quickly. Things like change over time, up here in the left-hand corner, over the right-hand corner, some summary statistics, typical clustering and stuff like that. But we wanted them to really not conflate space-time or time so up front. So we've introduced some lightweight space-time data mining kind of things to allow them to answer very simple questions. For example, what countries are trending like Kenya in violence against civilians? We've developed an analytic that that sort of scores the similarity among time series over the last 30 years in violence. And so things that are least like Kenya and how they're trending over time are orange. Sorry for the qualitative legend, but trending over time is for the orange and dark green. So what you're looking at here really is a map of space-time. So the legend is not a value, but the legend is sort of a score of how similar your behavior is to someone else's. You can see the time series directly if you like. We also have another way of looking at countries in sort of a collection of data within countries, multiple attributes. If you were to ask to divide the world's behavior up into, I think, eight fundamental behaviors, I have 2 minutes. this is a similar response. So what you're seeing is, I don't remember what the attribute is, but what it's telling you here is that the countries that are, the legend becomes a behavior legend. So it's not a value, but it shows how they're behaving. So the colors now represent behavior, and you can look at how things cluster, anomalies, and so forth in a single map. That's important for them because they can't put animation into their reports. Actually, we found out animation is not always the best way to move forward. We can also look at other covariates of violence. The tool will tell you, hey, all of these things look like violence in terms of how they're trending over time. So it can uncover new data for you. We could also throw entire blocks of attributes into portfolios and sort of look at how those collectively behave over time with each other. Again, the colors here sort of show the dendrogram up there. These, if your countries that are similarly colored are behaving like each other in general over a portfolio of space-time attributes. And so just to quickly wrap up, some of our challenges going forward and recommendations is human-computer interaction studies are critical. There's a way we think about how people use it, and then there's how people actually use it. And that was very surprising to us. So agile feedback is important there. But for us, the big challenge continues to be searching, crosswalking, content navigation among these thousands and thousands of attributes. And this particular thing is countries now and socioeconomic data, but it's being repurposed for ecosystems of sensors and image collection assets. And the same problem applies. How do you navigate this large ecosystem of data suppliers? In this case, this next project is for sensors. So that's all I have to say, I think, Ben. Yes.
Thank you, Robert.